Hello, this is Pastor Galen from the First Nazarene Church in Chicago, and welcome to our podcast. Hey, before we hear the message today, I simply wanted to say that no matter where you're at, we're glad that you're listening today. We hope this message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. And if you live in the Chicagoland area, maybe this is the first step for you joining us in person sometime. Or if you want to, you can always check out our online live services every Sunday on our website at firstnaz.cc. Thanks again for joining us. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Encountering Jesus. Now, one of the unique things about Christianity is that we believe our Savior is here. He is present. We also believe that He is not silent, that He speaks and He guides and He leads. And so I would just want to take a moment and prepare you for an encounter with Jesus. It's not going to be because of anything that I say, and it's not anything, we don't work up some kind of emotion in order to bring God present. He is here, and I don't want you to miss it. There's going to be a moment during this message, whether you're online or here, when you're going to feel something, you're going to think something, and you're going to recognize it's different. You're going to feel a nudge, and I want you to know that that very well might be an encounter with Jesus right here and right now. So, Lord, clear the air of everything that would distract us. Help us to lay aside our own business of the moment and just hear You. Move aside our pride and help us to hear what You have to say when You challenge us. Help us to lean in as You whisper to us in these moments, and help this to be a day when we encounter You. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So it was February 11th, 1997. Some of you were born. And on that day, I had gotten tickets. It was Pastor Appreciation Month shortly before that, the October previous. And someone had given me two tickets to a Bulls basketball game. And I'd never been to a professional game. And my son, Nick, was 8 years old. He was a huge Bulls fan. And I mean, a Michael Jordan fan like crazy. They were playing Charlotte. That's Muggsy Boggs at 5'3", guarding Michael Jordan. This was, for those of you who remember, and Muggsy picked his pocket a time or two. He was just an incredible athlete. But this was when Rodman, in between wearing the wedding dress and doing a bunch of stuff back in that year, he had kicked a photographer, and this was his first time back. It was an incredible opportunity. That's Nick at 8 and me younger. I took him out of school. We went to the game 2 hours early. We got in line, and we were like third in line to get in. We were just going to seize this moment. It was incredible. And so as time got near, we were within maybe 5 or 10 minutes of getting in, and my son Nick, who's 8, says, "Dad, I got to go to the bathroom." And I'm like, "There's no bathrooms. We just can't do that, right?" And we had become friends with this lady in a big fur coat that was standing beside us, and she said, "I'll take care of this." And she had season tickets or something, and she knew everybody. And she called the attendant over. She goes, "This boy's got to go to the bathroom." And he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I can't let him in." She goes, "You're going to let him in right now." That was the first encounter I had that day that was interesting, because that attendant went, "Yes, ma'am, okay." And so he and I went in, and as we started to go to the men's bathroom, this girl ran up to me with a clipboard. She goes, "How old's your son?" I said, 8. She said, "Would he like to be in the halftime program?" I'm like, "Yes, but not right now. We got to go to the bathroom." And I said, "Wait right here." She did. So we come out, and AT&T, you know how they have the halftime program stuff? And we found out that they were going to have these 3 children who would get in this little car, and they would race up and back. It was just one of those things they do. And would Nick like to do it? She goes, "Now, you'll need to come down from wherever you're sitting at the end of the first quarter so that we'll have you down on the floor for the second quarter so we can be ready." I said, "We could do that." And so we got everything lined up. We went up to our seats. We're in the nosebleed section. We were seated with a whole bunch of young college students who were having a good time. I think they tailgated a little bit. They were fine. They weren't, rude or anything. But we just got up there, and they, took a liking to Nick, and we just began to talk. And then I told them we're going down. They're like, "What? That's incredible. Nick, we're going to be cheering for you." So we went down to the floor. And at the end of the first quarter, and the second quarter, through the whole second quarter, we were standing right behind the bench. And we watched as Michael, he dropped 43 points that night. And by the way, only game we ever went to, they won 103-100 on a last minute and last second shot by Jordan. If I was going to script it for my kid, it'd be like, yeah. So comes time, we're ready, going to be a race. I eyeballed the other two contestants, said, Nick, you just got to get in and stay focused. He's like, okay, Dad. I'm like, yeah, he can beat those guys. I don't know what you get, but you got to win everything. And so we got, and right before halftime, she came over. She goes, I'm so sorry. There's something wrong with the scoreboard. They got to bring it down to fix it. We're not going to be able to do this. We're like, that's cool. We got to be here, right? She goes, I'm going to take you through the offices and give you some free stuff. And so we went through, saw some, saw the trophies and stuff. And she's loading us up with T-shirts and hats. And about the time we were going to go back up to our nosebleed seat, her phone rang. And she said, well, here's what they're telling me. They'd like to do it between the third and fourth quarter. But would you be willing to stay down here on the floor for the third quarter? I said, yes, we would. And some folks who were sitting there got up out of there. They saw us standing there, and they go, what? We're going to go somewhere else. Come and take our seats. So we were there, and my son at 8 years old was watching Michael Jordan. It was so incredible. And then the third quarter came. The break between the third and fourth quarter, and it was time. And as I'm sitting there, I realized that what was going to happen originally was halftime. The players were off the floor. But between third and fourth quarter, players are right there. I'm Nick, now you're going to be, and he wasn't paying any attention. He was just looking at Michael Jordan. And that race started, and he was the slowest racer on the track. He was just like this. He turned it around. He was just like that. And he come back, and it's like, oh, that was fun. We got back up to our seats, and when we come in amongst all these college kids, they're going, yay, Nick, you did great. You won. I'm going, he didn't win. And they all went, we were cheering for the wrong kid. But I learned something that day about being in a moment. Nick could have cared less about winning that race. This was probably the only time, maybe in his life, when he was going to be that close to someone who revolutionized a sport. Here's a problem that we have in our culture. Or here's a problem I have. You don't have it, but maybe you know someone who does, and this will help you talk to them. We have a tendency to be there, but unaware. We have a tendency to get distracted with stuff that in a moment can feel important and miss what's happening around us. Let me give you an example. This is my daughter's wedding a year ago, and this is a picture that the photographer took as Natalie reached the end of the aisle. And you see her looking down into her mother's face. And when I saw that moment, I wanted to run out and hug the photographer. I didn't want to pay him any more money, but I did want to hug him because that's a moment. And you know, you can get distracted. I wonder how many moments do we miss? And there's a key here, because what is good for you spiritually, hear me, what is good for you spiritually is good for you in every facet of your life, every single facet. And if we can get a hold of what the scripture is going to teach us today, it's going to make us better everywhere, because we will not be simply there, but unaware. So here's the text. 6 days before the Passover. This is the Passover. I mean, Jesus is nearing the end. This is a huge moment. 1,500 years or more since the first Passover, we're coming to what would be decidedly needed, the last Passover. It's a moment. Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived. Now, you may remember last week, if you haven't watched last week's sermon, go on the app and check it out, because Galen preached from John 11. And the title of his message is Dead Man Walking. It's a great message. But this has just happened. This is chapter 12. Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. What? Right? These are moments stacking up. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Notice that. Martha was kind of the leader of the family, certainly the matriarch. Then Mary, her younger sister, took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You have a moment. A year's wages, as we're about to find out. This wasn't a small thing. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, that guy, later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He didn't say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Interesting. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. That's their response to a miracle. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. Let's talk about encountering Jesus. There was a movie years ago called Close Encounters of a Third Kind, and that's how long ago it was. That's how bad the picture is. I've got several titles for this message, There But Unaware, Choosing the Best Thing. But I'm going to give you three encounters of a close kind. Three encounters of a close kind. Let's start with Judas. But one of his disciples, we read, Judas Iscariot, who had later to betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Let's talk about Judas for a minute. Judas is one of the 12. Judas saw the miracles. Judas heard the teaching. Judas experienced Jesus in an extraordinary way, but he missed it. He was there, but unaware. He had an encounter with Jesus, as probably all of you at some point in time, or most of us in this room, have had some kind. If you've been around the church, we're aware. But the encounter that Judas had stopped at the bank. Judas was undoubtedly impacted by the teachings of Christ, but he was there but unaware. He missed the moment. He was close, but not there, because there was this thing, at least one of these things, that was holding him up. Somehow he had rationalized that he could take instead of give. Somehow he had decided, hey, maybe the conversation went this way. Hey, I've left all. I've sacrificed, and I'm the treasurer of the group, and I should be. But nobody had affirmed that. That wasn't talked. And he took instead of giving. And the reality is that we can have an encounter, but only get close if we don't overcome sometimes this issue of finance. It'll keep us from having a full encounter with Christ. It's a bridge that we all have to cross. There's over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about generosity and stewardship and trust in God. And Judas, even though he had seen everything, was still at a point where he was taking instead of giving. And I'm going to tell you, we're going to talk a little bit about the miserable Christian life. And I didn't want to title this sermon that. I already had too many titles. But the one way to be miserable is to get close enough, but have a thing. And maybe it's money. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's pride, whatever it is, and it can stop you. And what this led to, with Judas, the problem led to him becoming a thief and ultimately a traitor. Same thing happens to us. A pastor, I would never do that. Well, I'm going to give you some scripture. Because the truth is that all of us have to deal with whatever the thing is, and often it is finance, in regard to our walk with God. Malachi chapter 4. I, the Lord, do not change, so you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. So it's not like these are folks who didn't know. They were aware. They were aware of the miracles. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? That's God talking there. You ask, how are we to return? And I'm saying, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. So this concept of tithing, this concept of giving to the kingdom of God is one that wasn't created by a bunch of TV preachers who were just trying to talk about money and raise money. It's a facet. And listen, it creates a financial freedom in the spirit that will keep you from totally being distracted about money. Because when we trust him and we give and we get on board with what he's called us to do, we're able to leave it to him. But if not, we find ourselves in the very same kind of shoes that Judas was in. And so many folks approach church as if they come to get, but never give. It goes farther. We can feel entitled about church. Sometimes if we do give, we feel like, well, since I give, I'm entitled. And that whole idea has a tendency to set in. Test me in this. You know how long I've been around ministry? I've been around a while. I've never had a single person come to me and say, Pastor, we've given to the Lord and the Lord's not blessed it. He's not taken care of it. I've just never heard that. Test me in this. Judas' encounter with Jesus stopped at the bank. Here's a hard question I had to ask myself. Where does my encounter stop? Where would the Lord like to take me? Now, maybe that's just me and Judas that struggle once in a while with these kinds of things, but I'm telling you, listen, this whole issue of the freedom that God wants for us financially, it's not what he wants from us, it's what he wants for us, so that we can be there and aware of what's happening. I said there were three encounters. Let me give you the second one. This encounter has to do with Martha. Now, Luke 10 is a different take on this particular passage, but we pick up something that was going on in the family that we don't get in the John 12. In John 12, it said Mary served. Well, her sister Martha was there. What was she doing? Well, here you go. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Wow. Now listen, I've struggled with this verse because sometimes folks just want to sit around. There's a theology of work in Scripture. We're going to talk about that at some point in time. There's a theology of work, but this isn't Mary who's just avoiding having to work because she got her nails done or whatever. She probably didn't get her nails done, but this isn't some kind of a, you know, this isn't a 70s hippie. Can you still say that? I don't know if I can. And just wanting to, you know, hang out. No. Mary has realized something, and it's frustrating for Martha. And God bless the Marthas of the world. I mean, somebody's got to do the dishes, right? Somebody, Marthas and whatever the male equivalent of that would be. I mean, we got to be about business. But if we're not careful, even as close as we are to Jesus, he just raised her brother from the dead. If we're not careful, we miss it. Martha, the Lord answered, you're worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Martha's encounter on that day, and I'm protecting Martha here. I feel like I would hate to be defined by one moment in my life, okay? So I'm giving Martha some space here. But today, she couldn't see past the work that had to be done. We're heading into the holidays. You can break your back trying to create an environment trying to make sure everything is done with your family and miss a moment. The same thing is true in the kingdom. It was about the physical. It was about the work. Martha was more comfortable working than she was, perhaps, sitting at the feet of Jesus. In the old days, we used to use a word called carnal. We would refer to carnal Christians. And when you look up the definition of carnal, it says in Scripture, carnal may mean fleshly, bodily, worldly, or temporal. It can refer to an unregenerate person who's all worldly, right? Or a Christian who is more worldly than spiritual. At times, it may mean to be human. I put this quote up for that last sentence right there. Because she's almost there. She's been through stuff with Jesus. You heard that in the message last week. But she's about to miss the moment. It's 6 days before the Passover, and you're there, Martha. Here's the thing about carnal Christians. Carnal Christians turn out being critical, angry, bitter, powerless, but busy. Oh, God, help us. Help those of us who are more comfortable doing and providing. And maybe Martha was trying to impress. I don't know. But at some point in time, that attitude will leave us there, but unaware of the moment. There were three encounters. Let's talk about Mary. Mary encountered Jesus at his feet. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, which one of our staff members pointed out, it's unique that I'm preaching this because I could never do that. I think that's carnal, frankly. What a moment. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. You know, the truth of the matter is that all of us speak and act and look and react in a way that has a tendency to fill the place we're in with our attitude, with the fragrance. Have you ever walked in, went to visit someone and thought, oh my goodness, I don't know what happened right before we got here, but man, something is wrong here, and it fills the place. One time I had a friend who came to visit the church I was pastoring, not the one you're thinking of, but the other one. And I don't want to set off the fire alarm. And he had a child. And after we went to lunch and he goes, hey man, this is just for your information. I don't know what was going on with the nursery workers today, but I'm going to be straight up with you. If I was visiting here, after what I heard them saying to each other about somebody else, I would never come back. The most important thing we can do as a church to impact the people who walk through the doors of this church is to make sure that this environment is filled with spirits and attitudes that are in tune with God. You see, Mary was in place, but not in tune. And may God, and even as we go into these holidays, we begin to think, what is it that we want to project? What do we want to leave behind? Jesus said, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Mary recognized the moment. All right. Now I can catch a paper on fire. Good. Get your cameras ready. Mary recognized the moment. Remember that picture of Lindy and Natalie? She recognized the moment. It's 6 days. This is the last Passover. You realize what could happen in the next 6 days in our lives that would make whatever moments we have right now suddenly critically more important? You know how you know how God helps us discern that? When we come at his feet. Mary believed Jesus had something to say to her that she needed to hear. Mary brought a sacrifice. Mary worshiped, and as a result, stepped into history. Choose to worship. Choose to be at Jesus' feet. Or you can wind up being close and yet there but unaware. What's it mean to sit at the feet of Jesus in 2021? That's a great question, because that's a phrase that we use around the church that, you know, it's like kind of like lay it all down or give it all up or some of the other stuff. And we're like, well, where do you go to do that? You know, here's a few thoughts about that, because this is what you're going to have to discern. You're going to have to discern how it is that you will be at the feet of Jesus individually. What's that look like for you? How do you get there? Here's a few thoughts about it. First of all, if you want to be at the feet of Jesus, believe that Jesus has something to say you need to hear. Just believe that. Believe that this matters, that this point matters. And I got to tell you, it doesn't matter. There's tools that we're going to talk about. Doesn't matter whether you're a reader or not a reader. Doesn't matter whether you like journaling or you don't like journaling or whatever. However you figure it out, you got to figure it out. Because that's what God has offered you. We can sit at his feet. We can hear from him. Romans 1 is a passage of scripture that the Apostle Paul talks about kind of how folks go off track and the mess that can be made. And if you're familiar with that chapter, you know all the stuff that falls into it. But consider this verse from Romans 1:28. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over. Is it worthwhile to spend a few moments with the Bible? Is it worthwhile to take a few notes while you're listening to a sermon? Now, my mom, who's one of the most gracious, holy persons I know, didn't take notes. She processed stuff differently. I'm not saying you have to. I'm saying that when you come in here, the promise is, whether you're online or in person, we believe that when Jesus is lifted up, that he's here and present, and we believe that through what the Apostle Paul called the foolishness of preaching, that God would speak to us. You're not here to be a critic. It was one of the gifts I had, I think, by being an addict, and God saved me. I didn't go to church to criticize anybody. I had to hear from Jesus. Your devotional, set aside time to encounter Jesus. This is my time. And then listen and watch for direction through the day. I mean, this wasn't Mary's morning devotional. This was just a moment, and she seized on it. And she couldn't have known everything that it meant. But there was a nudge that God gave her that said, Mary, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that perfume, and I want you to pour it on the feet of the Savior. And she did it. Linger. Linger. You'll see me at the end of services linger down here. And I linger down here for the purpose of wanting to make sure that God was done talking to me. Wanted to make sure that he wasn't talking to somebody else, and they didn't rush down to talk, but they may want to. That's why I linger. Linger and offer a sacrifice. God is worthy of our best. He is worthy of us giving. We get when we're at the feet of Jesus, what else should we do? What does it mean? Three ways of doing life. End of the message here. We're real close. Three ways of doing life. The first one can be defined, well, there's more, but these are the three I'm going to talk about, by Stanley from The Office. Stanley worked in accounting. Stanley did not care. These are a couple of memes that come up. Stanley didn't care for people. He didn't care for friends. He didn't really care for his job. He was like Eeyore, all right? It was like, right? And he says there, I'll slap you in the face with a rainbow. I mean, he was just negative. So there was this moment when the office crew had to go into the warehouse and load trucks because they were on strike. And a couple of the other sales associates figured out, hey, we got to figure out how to do this quicker, and we might be able to do this better. And Stanley looked at them and said, this is strictly a wait-out-the-clock situation. Meaning, I'm not trying to improve anything. I don't really care. I'm waiting on 5 o'clock to get here. There's some ways that we can get into a place where we wind up just waiting out the clock. We're just sick and tired of being, we're just there. I had the privilege, I went to Atlanta a couple weeks ago to a gathering of pastors, and a friend of mine teaches at a university close, and I went to sit in on one of his classes, and he said, introduced me and said, Brian, ask everybody a question. I'm like, oh. So the question came to my mind was, what fight are you looking to get into? They were all seniors. I said, what fight are you looking to get out of here and get into? And they were like, boom, and boom, and boom, and boom, and they were just like, yeah. When's the last time you looked for a fight to get involved? Not to go social media on or blah, 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 but to give yourself to take your offering to. That's one way of doing life. Then there's this guy. You just wake up, and it might be a power thing, or it might be a fear thing, but you just spend your whole life trying to put out, you just wake up morning to night. There's no plan, there's no reason. And in the midst of it, you just live doing this. Or there's this guy, or this lady. It's a pinball machine for those of you who weren't alive when I took my son to the basketball game. And you pull the little hammer back and the ball goes up and they spend their whole day just going boom, 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 boom. That all happens. But let me tell you something. You don't have to live that way. As followers of Jesus, this verse becomes live. Even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, and that word hope is translated wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. What does it mean for you to sit at the feet of Jesus? Talk about it. When does that happen in your life? Have you had too many there but unaware moments lately? Jesus will help you with that. And what fragrance is your attitude and spirit filling your home or workplace with these days? Consider the feet of Jesus. Lord, in the few moments that follow, speak to us. Redirect us where you want us to be redirected. May we have an encounter with you. And teach us how to hear your voice. Walk with us. Help us to hear you and be at your feet and receive what you have to say and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
And thanks again for joining us for the First NAS podcast. If you're interested in what your next step in growing your relationship with God might look like, I'd encourage you to visit us at firstnaz.cc/engage, or you can download our app from the App Store, First Nazarene Church. And there you can let us know if you've made a decision for Jesus, or you can also find practical resources to help you grow closer to Jesus. I'd also invite you to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, to make sure that you've always got the latest content. And if you want to, feel free to share this on your social accounts. You never know who else might need to hear today's message as well. Well, thanks again for joining us. Have a great day.